Let us all say amen.
Amen.
It was the Apostle Paul that would write these words to the believers at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and round about verse number 15, Paul says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." I'm going that way. That's why I can sing, and I sing very loud, because I understand what Paul means. When you know something, don't you act upon it?
Amen.
Oh, come on, y'all. It's going to be like that this morning. I got two sermons. Okay, I got two. I got one that'll build you up. I got one that'll build you up, cut you loose, and turn you every way but loose.
Right now.
So which one you want? You tell all up. No problem, no problem. Once again, Happy New Year to each and every one of you. It's good to see you. I hope and pray all is well with you. I just want to encourage your heart and remind you God has blessed us to see 2019. It is time to get busy doing the will of the Father. And I know you're probably saying, well, I've fallen short, so have each and every one of us. Have fallen short of the glory of God. But I'm reminded of what the Hebrew writer would write. He writes words to remind God's people that in the midst of everything that goes on in your life, God is not like you and I. Amen.
Amen.
He'll forgive you when I won't. Amen. I must be on the right nerve. He'll have mercy when you and I won't have mercy on one another. The Hebrew writer would write these words to remind God's people that God is in control of everything and that God is a kind and merciful, loving God. But there's one thing he does not like. S-I-N. But if we repent of it, God has promised us something. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 8, number 12. Okay. He says, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more." Boy, that's what makes me excited. That when I fall short of the glory of God and I repent, God said, "I won't even remember what you did to me." And if that don't motivate you, check your pulse, because you might not be here with me this morning. But it is good to see you as we start this new year off. We're going to be looking at ambassadors for Christ. And you need to understand something about an ambassador. I do have a visual aid, but I'm not going to give it to you right now. But an ambassador is not someone that sits behind a desk. It is not someone that stays in his own country. An ambassador is that individual that goes somewhere else and puts himself in danger. Oh, you didn't know that? Well, I just stopped by this morning to give you a little history of what an ambassador is, because in Ephesians chapter 6 and round about verse number 20, Paul says, "I am an ambassador in these bonds." Mm-hmm. And so I want to show you that as ambassadors in Christ, God has saved you for a purpose. And guess what? It's not for you. Okay. Amen. And I'm learning the more I study and meditate upon the Word of God, the more I apply it to my everyday life, my life is supposed to be lived for somebody else. Can you turn and tell your neighbor, "My life is for you"? Huh? Don't do it if you can't do it. That's right. Because, church, that's the bottom line. Our lives are lived for somebody else. God has blessed you and I to see 2019, not because you deserve to be. No, he's blessed us because you have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ through water baptism. Now God expects you to help someone else to get in that water, to help someone else see the importance of why he sent his son. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "For God sent his son into the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should" what? "Have everlasting life." How many of y'all want everlasting life? Huh? How many of you want it? Well, raise your hand like you want. Boy, y'all got to get ready for me this morning. Because if y'all ain't ready, I'll just go out here on the highway and I'll talk to somebody else that want to hear. How many of you want everlasting life? How many of y'all ready to die? Oh, yeah. See, them hands went right back down. Because to have everlasting life You got to be willing to give up your life in service for him. Anybody in here got problems? Anybody in here got some trouble? Well, the rest of y'all stay away from me because y'all ain't got no problems. Y'all might be lying to yourself. Because if you live on this time side of life, you're going to have some problems. And Peter says, and all that desire to live godly in this present world will suffer persecution. And I'm learning that when you profess the name of Jesus Christ, look out. Because Satan is going to do everything he can to stop you. This morning, I want to encourage each and every one of us, as God has blessed us to see 2019, to ask yourself a question. Is he really pleased with my service to him? And if not, repent, get on the right track. It's just that simple. Those of you that are visiting this morning, want you to know that you are our honored guests. It's no accident that you're here. You're here because of the providence of God. It's my job, it's my responsibility as a gospel preacher to tell you what God requires of each and every one of you. If you want to make heaven your home, you got to do what God says. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, Jesus says, you'll find it. Amen. Then he asked a question. What does it profit a man? How much does it take? What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See, you're here this morning because I have a responsibility. And whoever brought you here or however you came here, it wasn't no accident. You're here because God wants you to come out of darkness into a marvelous light. And the way he's going to do that is by you listening and doing what he commands you to do in his word. In John chapter 8, and round about verse number 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many of y'all are shackled this morning? You don't have to raise your hand. Because I know if you live on this time side of life, if you don't do what God commands you to do, you are shackled and you don't even know you're shackled. Oh yeah, you can have everything on this time side of life. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, there's going to come a time when you're going to need him. Amen. And you know, most of the time we need him when we flat on our back looking in his face, don't we? Boy, we quick to say, Lord, have mercy. But did you have mercy when mercy was time to be had on your... I want to encourage our hearts this morning as we look at this text that Paul writes here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's believed that this is probably the fourth letter that he's written to the Corinthians. You go back and you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and following, you will find out that Paul wrote several times to the church here because the church had lots of problems. But in the process of this, Paul reminds the believer that you need to understand who you are. Those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel and are part of the body of Christ, the church, you need to understand something. God has saved you for one purpose. That's to reconcile the lost. And in the process of that, if we live up to what we are responsible to do, you don't have to worry about this time side of life. I'm learning that when I do things God's way, you know what he does to Satan? Satan kind of takes a back seat. It's only when I fall short of the glory of God, guess who is around there to help me out? Satan himself. But God gave me a spirit that is designed to help me stay on the right track. Jesus said to those Jews, if you continue in my word. And so this morning, as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as we talk about ambassadors for Christ, I want to help us to see that as ambassadors of Christ, we've been saved, we've been created in Christ Jesus, but for one purpose. But before you can get to verse number 20, you got to back up and ask yourselves a question. Who am I? What have I obeyed? Jesus said, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I've had a lot of yokes in my days. Can I get a witness? I've had a lot of yokes in my days. But you know, when I obeyed from the heart, Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, and was buried in water for the remission of my sin, and he washed me clean of all of the foolishness. Boy, I don't know about you. I don't go back and pick up stuff. No, he forgave me, and guess what I did? I forgave myself. And so no matter how much you have your shovel, you know how a lot of times we bury things, but we leave the shovel, the handle sticking up? No. When he buried my sins in the water, I left the shovel there too. Amen. Why? Because I'm free from the shackles of sin. In this lesson text, the Apostle Paul would write these words to remind the believer that because you have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, God has given you special privileges because of who you are. Not everybody can be an ambassador. Amen. You know why? Because it's a difficult job. How many of you are really ready to die for the Lord? My hands are slowly going up. And you know why? Because, see, that's the mindset you really have to have. Because an ambassador doesn't stay within his own boundaries. Most of the time, he is placed in arm's way, and he is faithful to what his master commands. Oh, you didn't know that? That's right. And so when he talks about, I am an ambassador of Christ, Paul tells the believer here that whatever Jesus commands me to do, I'm willing to do. Paul says, if he requires my life, I'm willing to give up my life because he commands. You didn't know that's all in that text? Oh, yeah. I want to show you that because of who we say we are, we must live up to his commandments. In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46, Jesus says, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? See, Jesus commands each and every one of us that have obeyed from the heart the gospel that there are some things we have to do. But first and foremost, you got to understand who you are. Amen. And I'm learning that the more you understand who you are, the less Satan has to hold anything over you. And for 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in our lesson text, but before we get to the lesson text, let's back up and get a little context of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Apostle Paul here starts out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, for if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, Paul says, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. And then he goes on to say, as long as I'm in this body, I groan, I moan to be with the Lord, because he knows that this earthly house cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He knows that he has to give up this earthly man in order to make heaven his home. And so while I'm in the body, Paul says, I got some problems. And see, and the problems that Paul talks about is not the problem we talk about. Boy, we talk about light, gas, water, and everything else. Paul is not talking about that. Paul talks about that as long as I'm physically on this time side of life, I'm absent. Don't let that mess. He says, I'm absent from the Lord. Wow, that's deep. You ever thought about being absent from the Lord? Paul said, as long as I'm in this tent of this tabernacle, I'm absent from the Lord. And so while I'm in this tent, Paul says, let me stir you up. In order for me to really understand that I'm an ambassador of Christ, I got to understand something. No longer do I walk by what I think is right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, Paul says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, Paul said, the Hebrew writer says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Boy, if that don't make you shout, something wrong with you. You know why? Because the God I serve says that everything belongs to me. Why? Because it belongs to him. Y'all looking at me funny. Y'all must not know y'all's Bible. Psalms division 51, God said, I don't need a goat from your pen or a hog from your stall. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Why? The world and the fullness thereof. And he calls me his son. He calls me his child. He calls me a child of the Most High God. He calls me the righteousness of God. So what do I own? Everything. But we walk around as if we have no hope. We walk around miserable. You know why? Because I don't understand. I think we don't really understand who we are. Because I'm learning when you understand who you are. And if you miss Bible class, you missed a good one. And you know why? Because in there, Peter didn't really understand who he was. He understood it from the physical sense, but he didn't understand from the spiritual sense that God had called him to a higher calling than just being a Jew. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and round about verse number 17, as we go to our lesson text. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Boy, I tell you, this is shouting time here. When I went in the watery grave, because Paul said I was chief among sinners, I was first mate. Amen. I can talk about me. I can talk about some dirt, but you'll never know it. But I'm glad I got a witness over here. That's right. See, when you understand where you come from, and where you're at and where you need to go, boy, life takes on a whole new meaning. I know one day he's going to close my eyes. I already know that. Amen. But I'm not worried about it because I got a house not made with hands, eternal. Boy, somebody know what I'm talking about. And I want to show us this morning that in Christ Jesus, when we really understand who we are, the problems, the trials, and the tribulations that we face in our everyday life won't even faze us. Somewhere down the line, we either believe it or you need to just get on away from it. Let me show you something real quickly. This is a sidebar. It ain't going to cost you nothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and round about verse number 8. Listen to what Paul says to the believer. He says, we're troubled on every side. Yes. Got a witness? Boy, it seemed like every time you take a step forward, you're 10, 15 behind. I got a witness. Yeah. But I want to show you something, because Paul here shows me that in the midst of my trials and tribulations, if I depend on God, if I trust him, because he said he'd never leave me, nor would he forsake me. That's what he said. He said, I'll never put more on you than that which you're able to bear. But even in the process, he said, I'll give you will. Oh, boy, somebody knows me this morning. See, when you know that God has your back, you ain't worried about nobody else. That's why I love everybody, but I know who got my back. Amen. See, because when my hair goes and my teeth fall out and my wife no longer wants me and my kids say you're too old, we're going to throw you in a home. They said, I'll be there for you, son. Amen. He said, don't worry about it.
Yes, sir.
Because even when you die, I'll dispatch heavenly pallbearers to take you. Boy, I don't know about you. I believe what I read in the book. And you're looking at me funny. Luke chapter 16, you go on and you read it. When Lazarus died, the Bible says God dispatched the pallbearers from heaven to take him to the other side. The rich man died and he was buried. Now, you tell me. I don't know how I got you, but that don't cost you nothing either. We're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. You need to get this. Because a true ambassador understands that when I stand for Jesus Christ, somebody's not going to like it. Yes. Amen. I've learned that in the house as well as outside of the house, when I start telling you about what thus saith the Lord, you might not like it. Amen. When I get on your case about you haven't been faithful, you come when you feel like it, can't find you when it's time to teach, but y'all quiet. Oh, yeah, you're quiet, and I understand. Because when you start speaking the truth, it separates us. And we need to understand something. He's blessed us in 2019. Do you think he wants to see the church in Apple Valley move? To grow?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Well, turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to grow because of me. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh, y'all having a hard time doing that. We know that the church is going to grow because of Christ, but guess what? He needs ambassadors to help the church to grow. So turn to your neighbor. I ain't left it that quick. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to move because we're going to help it to move. Come on, y'all, work with me this morning. Now, keep in mind, God hears you. God hears you. So don't lie to him, because this means it's time to step up to the plate. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, we are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he, see, I know something. I know who raised Jesus from the dead. And Paul here shows the believer that if you believe he raised him from the dead, when you die, you ain't got to worry about a thing, because he's going to raise you right on up into glory. That's right. Blessed are those that die in the Lord, for they rest from their labor and their works do follow them. I don't know about you. I believe what thus saith the Lord. Why? Because the evidence that I've seen. He says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, renown to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. You ever seen a person faint? How many of y'all are fainting? Giving up. The world got you tied every way but loose. The things that you're going through, you don't know which way to turn. Turn to Jesus. I stopped by this morning to tell you as a living witness, as a testimony, that when you surrender your will to the will of God, he said, I'll even make your enemies be at peace with you. Boy, what a God I serve. And he says, when my ways please his ways, he'll even give me the desires of my heart. I don't know who you serve, but church, I'm learning that the desires of my heart ought to be to make heaven my home. So therefore, I learned to live my life in excess of knowing who's in control. He says, for this cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, Paul says, what you're going through right now means absolutely nothing. Matter of fact, Paul said, it can't even compare. Boy, can I get a witness? Some of us are going through some stuff. But Paul says that can't even compare to the glory you're going to receive on the other side. Boy, I'm telling you, if this stuff don't move you, you better check yourself, because something might be wrong with you. Because Paul here shows the believer that the mindset we have to have is to make heaven our home, is we have to be wrapped up in the spiritual man and let the physical man go. But we just this thing, we turn this thing around, huh? That's why sometimes it's hard for y'all to smile, ain't it? Yeah. That's why sometimes it's hard for you to come, huh? Because the physical man dictates to you what you're going to do. You wake up in the morning, oh, I feel bad. Why can't you wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm ready. I know, that ain't something we do. I tell you what, try it. You know, you done tried everything else, try it and see if it does not work. Paul says, for which cause, verse 17, for our light afflictions is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. When I look at each and every one of us, you're going to leave here. So am I. I'd like to stay here longer, but some of y'all understand. But I already know that one day I got to give it up. And so Paul says the afflictions of pain that we go through only going to be here for a moment. We look at things physical, and that's why we have so many problems in our lives, because the physical man dictates so much to us. Why would he give us the third person of the Godhead to live in us, to dwell in us, and all our mind is on everything but the third person? See, I'm learning the more you let the Spirit guide and direct you, the more He'll put that physical man in check. See, it's hard to get the physical man in check without the Spirit of God. He says, for our light affliction, while we look not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Go back to my lesson text here as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul once again says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Somebody here this morning needs to be reconciled. Whether you need to repent of your sins and get on the right track, whether you need to be buried in water for the remission of your sin, God's committed to me and to everyone that have obeyed from the heart the gospel, the words of reconciliation. What does that mean? To help you out of darkness into a marvelous light. Colossians chapter 1, roundabout verse number 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have forgiveness of sin. Boy, when I heard that, I told him, take me to the water. Amen. You telling me God gonna forgive all that mess I did? Yes, take me to the water. And when I came up out of the water, I was ready to bite nails and didn't realize I didn't know half of what I was supposed to know. Amen. But guess what? I continue to do what God says. Paul goes on to say in verse number 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you on Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he made him to be sin for us. And you know, and if this don't cause you to feel something, maybe you don't really know Jesus. Because Paul here said, the God of heaven made his son to be sin, who knew no sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says there was not even gall found in his mouth. To be sin for me? Wow. You thought of that much of me, God? And see, and it's got to be personal. Because the more personal it becomes to you, the more your relationship to God becomes more real. Who made him to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God. Boy, that's what motivates me. I don't care what you say. I am the righteousness of God.
That's all right.
Words that we don't use that much. Words that we don't concentrate on that much. We are saints. Words that the world have said, you got to do this, this, and this to be a saint. No, my Bible says I am a saint of the Most High God. If the book says it, I'm not going to let you take it from me. I want to encourage each and every one within the sound of my voice to stop and ask yourself a question. If you're truly an ambassador for Christ, and if you were called into court as an ambassador for Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And if not, ask yourself, who do I truly serve? In our lesson text here, the Apostle Paul writes the believer and to remind the believer, now that you are in Christ Jesus, now the work begins. Oh, yeah. You know, the watery grave clears you from your sins. And when you come up out of that watery grave, God expects each and every one of us to take up our cross and do what he commands. I want to encourage us as ambassadors of Christ, it is time for us to take the message to a lost world. I believe the first and foremost place we need to start is in our own households. Brothers, it's time for you to step up to the plate. Amen, walls. I'll talk to the walls. You don't have to talk to me. It's time for every man that have named the name of Jesus to be the head of the household and to govern the house the way thus saith the Lord. The Bible says if a man can't take care of his own house, how can he take care of the house of God? God requires each and every one of us men to step up to the plate. When it's time to serve, I shouldn't have to guess who's going to be here. Ought to know. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And then the more we step up as brothers and do our job, guess what? It's not difficult for the rest of the people to follow. It's time for each and every one of us as men to understand that God has entrusted to you and I the gospel, which is designed to save men and to bring men out of darkness. As ambassadors of Christ, our job is to carry a message to a lost world. In Matthew chapter 28 and round about verse number 18, when Jesus got up out of the grave, he reminds his disciples as he appears to them that all power, all authority has been given unto me. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, he says, and Jesus said and spoke unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. As an ambassador of Christ, my job is to go teach, help men out of darkness into a marvelous life. As an ambassador of Christ, brothers, that's your job as well. And I'm a firm believer that if we start at home, and if we live our lives the way God, Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 4, when the husband understands that his service first and foremost is to the Lord, yeah, you don't have to worry about the neck. Yeah. Amen. Y'all quiet. That's okay. I understand. Matthew, Mark chapter 16 and round about verse number 15. Once again, Jesus reminds those individuals of his day that he has all the authority, all the power on heaven and in earth. But he reminds his disciples of the importance of going. Verse 15 said, and he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus has a commission for every man that says you're an ambassador of Christ. And ladies, I'm not going to leave you out as well. That's right. You're an ambassador. Well, what would be the proper word? Ambassador is. Is that such? Is that such a word? You get the message. God expects you to do the same thing. Your job, your responsibility, whether it's not preaching and teaching the gospel, but you got a responsibility that's even far greater because you're supposed to be the example. Amen. To the younger women. Titus chapter 2 and round about verse number 1. Paul tells this young gospel preacher, he says, but speak the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man might be sober, grave, temperance, sound in the faith, in charity and patience. The aged woman likewise, that she be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. Yes. To love their husband, to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient, obeying their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Oh, yeah, I could spend the next 3 or 4 days on that passage just alone. We're ambassadors of Christ. We got a responsibility. Yes, we do. Amen. And you know what? He holds those of us who teach and preach to even a higher standing than those that don't. Yeah. James says, be not many teachers or preachers, for greater is your condemnation. And I always ask the question, how hot can hell be? Don't want to know, don't care. I'm going to do what God requires of me. I want to encourage us as believers to understand that God has called us for a purpose. And as 2019 dawns and comes upon us, and as we live in 2019, I want to encourage every single one of us to do exactly what Paul commands us to do. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, Paul says, examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith. Prove yourself. Know you not that Christ is in you, except you be disqualified or a reprobate. I want to encourage us this morning, as God's people, he's blessed us with a new year. And I don't know about you, I hit this year running to do God's will. Yeah, I messed up a lot last year. Mm-hmm. The preacher? Yes. Mm-hmm. Have you felt this lately? Mm-hmm. I'm still flesh and blood. But one thing I've learned, that when I confess my sins and do what God requires, I don't have to worry about anything else. Church, we are ambassadors of Christ. God sends us into the world for a purpose. Luke 19:10. He sends us to seek and save the lost. James chapter 1 and round about verse number 25. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And I'm learning the only way you're going to stay unspotted from the world, you got to bathe yourself in the word of God. Psalms and vision 1 verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. His leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. That doesn't mean you're going to have everything your way. I've learned that my prosperity is based upon making heaven my home. So if I live my life right the way I'm supposed to, I'm not worried about when death knocks on my door. I will be ready to see my Lord in peace. And finally, we have started a new year. Want to encourage each and every one of us. Let's get motivated. Let's get enthused. Let's look at what needs to be done. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's get it done, because we are the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And the question is, are you doing your job? If you're here this morning, members of the body of Christ, and you've fallen short, you have an opportunity to repent of your sins and get on the right track. Those of you that are visiting this morning, you've heard the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe what I said? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says you got to repent of your sin. Luke 13:5. Tell your nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus says, confess me before men, and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. And Jesus says, I'll deny you before my Father. And all of that brings us unto salvation. The Bible teach, contrary to popular belief, that it is in the watery grave that baptism washes away your sins, and God places you into the body of Christ, which is the church. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. For all of us are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. There's an antitype that saves us, N-O-W. What does that mean?
Right now.
Right now. That's right. There's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. It is in that watery grave that I have a good conscience to serve God. Without the watery grave, well, it speaks for itself. And then he adds you to the body of Christ, which is the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, have put all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things, which is the church, which is his body. And he's talking about a bunch of people that are called out, but for one purpose. Ecclesia, that's you and I, the believers that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he adds you to his church, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. If you're here this morning, you stand in need. Speak up, step up, and God will do the rest. Let us all stand.